Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Well, like I said, guys, I had a message and it's an awesome message, all right? So hopefully one day Pastor Raph will let me preach it another time. But during the middle of the night, I was praying, and I don't know if you've ever had this feeling before where you feel like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this, but you feel like this little tug from the Holy Spirit. You just feel like God's just trying to get your attention. And after a night of wrestling with that, at about 5 o'clock this morning, I just went, Lord, what is it? Like, what's going on? Like, I want to hear your heart. And all of a sudden, I was immediately taken into a vision. And in the vision, I was standing in a place in heaven, and I was standing outside this whitewashed, beautiful whitewashed, like a Grecian, looked almost Grecian building. And in front of the doors, instead of a door, there were these beautiful sheer white curtains that were kind of flowing in the wind. And I felt this prompting to walk into this building. So I walk through these sheer curtains. When I get inside, instead of walls, there were walls of fire. So the walls weren't white, it was just walls of fire. And Jesus was standing there waiting for me to come into this room. And in the middle of this room was a fountain. But the fountain wasn't full of water, it was full of fire. So it was like trickling fire in the water instead of like water, but it wasn't water, it was fire. And I'm looking around going, this is amazing. The Lord shows me this place by the fountain, which was like a place where you could kneel. And he said to me, I want you to kneel there right now. So I knelt as if I was going to pray, you know, like those old wooden pews that you see. It looked a little bit like that, just for one person. And so I sort of knelt down and I went and I started to pray. And as I started to do that, Jesus walked up next to me. And I know I'm sounding like a crazy person right now. I promise you I'm going to have some scriptures and I'm going to be very theological in a moment, but I'm a prophet. This is how the Lord speaks to me. He took a ladle. It was like a giant soup ladle, and he put it into the fountain, and he picked up a ladle of fire, and then he poured it over my head. And as he did that, the refreshing that I felt physically was incredible. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you feel weary and then in a moment the Holy Spirit does something and you're like, wow, okay, this is what it's meant to be like to run with faith and fire. That's how I felt. I felt like my bones, they were weary and I didn't even realize until this fire was poured upon me. And from the inside out, I felt this refreshing. And I said to the Lord, what is this? And he said, Roma, this is my fire room. This is the place where if anyone can come, if they want to receive my fresh fire, I will pour it over them. If all they do is come and they kneel, I will pour it over them, fresh fire. And I believe that the word of the Lord today to all of you is that he is ready to pour fresh fire upon you, a daily infilling of the Holy Spirit, not just a one-time event. We make this mistake when we give our lives to Jesus or we have that one encounter of him, that's the thing that's meant to keep us going for the rest of our lives. But I'm going to show you in Scripture in a moment that actually you're meant to have that on a regular basis. You're meant to come alive. And I want to prophesy that over you today, that if you've felt weary, if you've felt life has been hard, you are going to receive a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit this morning that is going to make you run like you've never run before. It's going to make you feel more alive than you ever have before. The fire room is there for you. And the scripture that I got as I was receiving that really precious vision was Hebrews 1 verse 7. And this is what it says. It says, and concerning the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministering servants flames of fire to do his bidding? You are his ministering servants and he is making you flames of fire to do that which he asks of you. And I declare that over you in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to talk to you about this idea of being filled, because when we come to the day of Pentecost that we are today, we're celebrating what happened in the book of Acts, aren't we? We're celebrating when that fresh fire fell and they received power. But I want to take you to a scripture that really amazed me when I started to study this several years ago, and that is John 20, verses 21 to 22. This is before the book of Acts. It's after Jesus has come back to life and he's walking with the disciples for that period of time before he goes back to heaven. And this is what Jesus said to them. He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And this is my favourite, this favourite part of this scripture, verse 22. "And with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit." Now, I don't know about you, but we can often think that receiving the Holy Spirit was that one-time Book of Acts experience. In Acts chapter 2, where they're waiting in the upper room and then all of a sudden the tongues of fire fall upon them. But we can see that before Jesus left and he said, "I'm promising you the Holy Spirit will come," that they received the Holy Spirit before that. And actually, in fact, if you go through scripture right from Genesis chapter 1, actually, the Holy Spirit is actually mentioned. He didn't just turn up when Jesus left. He has been an integral part of what Father, Son, Holy Spirit want to do on the earth from day one. And so when Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," he wasn't giving them something new. He was reminding them that if they recalibrated and they turned their faces to the breath of God, they would be filled again. And, you know, many theologians have argued that. They've gone, "Hang on a minute, but what about the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit comes with fire?" And I want to just go through that chapter, John 20, verse 22, a little bit more deeply and what it means when Jesus said, "Be filled with the Spirit." You know, the Greek word for filled is actually a word that means continual. Be continually filled. It's not a one-time event. And the idea from that Greek word is as if it was like wind in the sails of a boat. You know, for that boat to keep going across the ocean, the wind has to keep blowing. It can't just blow once or you're going to get stuck in the middle of nowhere. How many of you have lived like that? I've had that happen to me before where I'm like, "Wow, the Holy Spirit got me good. I feel empowered," and then I'm in the middle of that ocean and he's not there. He's not blowing anymore, and it's not because of him. It's because I went on a different course. I went somewhere else. And the Holy Spirit wants to remind us today, we can be filled continually, just like that Greek word implies, a continual filling of the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean then when we think of John 20 and Acts chapter 2? Well, what it actually means is we need that fresh infilling on a daily basis. He wants to fill you more than once. So don't let your Holy Spirit story be the one where, "This time I was at church, God touched me and it was amazing." That was 20 years ago. That's not the kind of life he wants you to live. He wants you to come alive to his presence on a daily basis. He wants to give you, if we use another analogy from scripture, fresh oil. He is wanting to fill you with fresh oil every day. And I'm going to show you how to do that in a moment, because you might be going, "This is all awesome, Roma, and I get it, but I'm stuck. I don't know where I fit in this picture and how I allow the Holy Spirit to fill me." But I just want to encourage you that that experience of daily fresh infilling is meant to be the way we're meant to live as believers, and that it's not just one time. It's this relational experience with Holy Spirit, just like what happened to me this morning. I was ready to preach the word, and guess what? The word that I had, I really liked it. I thought it was a good word. But when I'm daily looking to the Holy Spirit, there is this relational experience where we ebb and flow and we trust what He has to say, and we trust less on our own anointings and our own giftings and more on His anointing and that fresh oil. Amen. And so if you've been feeling like there's got to be more than this, guess what? There is. I think we get a bit scared to hope for more. We're worried that we'll be disappointed, but you actually can hope. You can hope. You can believe for a little more than you got. You can keep believing. That's what faith is. You can keep going higher and trusting Him. Your life is meant to be a glorious adventure with Him. And I really feel like we need a revelation of this more than ever right now. It's almost like for a little while, I don't know, I felt like the church, not this church, but the church in general, we've been a bit asleep. You know, it's like we've been asleep to the power of the Holy Spirit. We just think it's for revival conferences. We think it's for this big event. No, you're meant to be able to, for example, walk down the street and someone look like they need help from Holy Spirit, and you just chime up and go, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." We're supposed to be those kind of people. You know, last night I was at my cousin's wedding, and none of them know Jesus. They're not born again, but they're the most beautiful people. I love them to bits. And the mother of the bride, who's my cousin, said to me, "Oh, I broke my arm, but because of the wedding, I haven't been able to do anything." Now, previous to this, she said to me several times before, she's like, "Roma, I read your Facebook posts," and I'm like, "I don't get it. I don't get what you believe. And I don't believe in God, but I love that you believe in God." So that's what she said to me in the past. Last night, she's telling me about her broken arm. The first thing she says after she says that, she goes, "Roma, maybe you need to just do what you do best and pray for me." And I was like, okay. And I think she thought I was going to go away. I just put my hand on her in the middle of the dance floor. Yes, I danced for maybe 2 minutes, but I did it. And I put my hands on her elbow and I said, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." And she just sort of looked at me and laughed. Maybe she was a bit drunk too. But I got to lay hands on her, because I'm not going to ever let an opportunity go by. And I tell you what, I'm not going to be surprised if she rings me this week and says, "Roma, something happened. Something has happened to my elbow. I don't need surgery anymore." So I'm going to see what happens with that. But that's the kind of life we're meant to lead. We're constantly needing to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And so this morning when I had this encounter with the Lord, I felt excited. I was like, oh, yes, this is what I've been searching for. It's kind of like I'm trying to find this place where I can hear from the Lord. Let me just have some water, sorry. And then when I heard Him, I was like, yes, I have the Holy Spirit right next to me. He's like sitting right next to me and He's talking to me. And I just thought it was just for me, a personal experience. And then the Lord said, "Actually, that's what I want you to talk about today." And I went, my first reaction was like, hang on, now I've got to like rethink everything. But then I got excited, because I was like, you know what? All you need is a word from the Holy Spirit. You don't need all the fancy stuff. The first service, right, all the sound just before we started just stopped working. The sound, the lyrics stopped working. Everything stopped working. But the presence of God was so strong. It was so strong. So I want to tell you today, you don't need to have all the things together to experience the Holy Spirit. You don't need to have all the boxes ticked. You don't need to be perfect and reading your Bible every day. You just need to have a life that is a life that is surrendered, that you want Him to walk and work in your life. And, you know, as I was thinking about that in the first service during worship, the Lord reminded me of three times in the Bible where we see the fire. We hear stories about fire. The first one was when Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego go into the fire. You might know that story, and they don't get burned. The second story that came to my mind was when Moses turned aside and he saw the burning bush, and that's where the Lord commissioned him for the next season of his life. And then the third time was that time in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit came and they received the power that they needed. And I heard the Lord say, "All I want from my people is I want them to enter, I want them to turn aside and I want them to linger. This kind of infilling of the Holy Spirit means you have to stop. And, you know, I didn't say this in the first service, but we're actually too busy. And sometimes we're busy with really good things. But will we turn aside? It wasn't until Moses turned aside that he heard the voice of the Lord through the burning bush. It wasn't until those disciples waited in the upper room that the Holy Spirit fell in a new way. Are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to go, God, that thing over there is really good, but I'm putting it over here and I'm turning aside. I'm entering in. I am going to linger to experience your presence. Now, I just want to digress for one moment because you might be asking this question. You might be going, well, what's Acts chapter 2 all about then? What is it about when because the Holy Spirit's been here the whole time? The thing that is different about the book of Acts that we need to be aware of is this. Let's go to Acts 1 verse 8. And this is Jesus again speaking. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That word power is the Greek word dunamis. And what that means is obviously power, might, strength. It actually means supernatural manifestations that result in power, miracles, wonders, and powerful deeds. And this word's used 10 times in the book of Acts, and every time it's used, there were signs and there were wonders following. So when the Bible uses the word dunamis, it's not referring to our strength and power, our abilities, it's actually referring to his power through us. Now, with that in mind, let me read that scripture again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Australia, in Victoria, in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne, in your families. Everywhere you go, that dunamis power is ready. And the story in Acts isn't just about that relational experience, but it's also about receiving power. That is powerful to me. So the Lord's, I've got a very good friend who says to me when God calls you in relation, he'd say, God pays for what he orders. So today, whatever he has called you to, it doesn't even need to be ministry. It's your job, it's your being a mum or a dad, wherever you are feeling a lack in your life, dunamis power is there for you to accomplish, not just get by, but to release the power and the wonderful deeds of Jesus. Amen. So if that's the case, we need that fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. We need it. How do we do that? Well, let's go back to that oil analogy again, and I'm almost done here. But, you know, I had the privilege of going to Israel in 2019, and I got to go to a little village where they showed how they crushed the olives to create oil. That is actually how oil is created. There is a crushing. There is a crushing that takes place. And as much as I hate this, we receive the oil when we experience persecution and resistance. This is why the persecuted church is one of the fastest growing churches in the world today. It's actually because persecution produces the oil that you need. So if you are experiencing persecution in any way, I want to encourage you. This is a great time for the oil to come into your life. I love what David Hernandez says. He says, only the spirit-filled produce power under pressure. And, you know, if we don't have that, if we don't have that presence of the Holy Spirit, when that pressure comes, and I've been here, so this is not an attack on anyone here that's feeling this. There's a recalibration that needs to take place. But when we don't have that, the pressures cause fear. They cause even strange doctrines. We believe stuff that's not even from Scripture because we're confused. There's emotional breakdowns when we don't have the connection of the Holy Spirit filling us with power. Because when the pressure's on, whatever's in you comes out, doesn't it? So it is more important than ever, because I believe we're coming to the end of the age right now. I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I know I need to be ready. I know I need the Holy Spirit to be dunamis to me, you know. And so that oil is so important. Now, there's something really interesting about olives before they're crushed. In ancient times, before the oil was made from those olives, they had to collect the olives. And the way they did that is they would put a net on the ground and they would violently shake the tree. Ouch. So if you're feeling like you're in a shaking right now, the oil's coming. The oil's coming. Be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't feel like, oh, this is so hard. If you're feeling like the tree's being shaken, if you're feeling like you're being pressed in any way, there is fresh oil for you today. And, you know, He loves us too much to just let us just be fruitful by itself. He loves us too much. The shaking is His love for us. He allows that shaking so that we will experience the blessing of persecution, which sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? I love that word, oxymoron, which basically means it doesn't make any sense. I learned it when I was 17, just side note, and I've used it ever since in English literature. So that's what oxymoron means. But I'm thinking about a story of my friend who used to go to the persecuted church in China, the underground church, for many decades, in fact. He used to take Bibles in people wouldn't discover them because even though they were right in front of them, they'd be hidden in his suitcase. They'd see them there and not see them. It's like crazy, crazy stuff, right? So he was telling me of this one time when he went to the persecuted church in China and they would have their services literally in an underground building, and there was like this tiny slither of a window at the top, and they would actually see the soldiers' feet walking past, and they had to have church really quietly because they couldn't make any noise. So there was a girl there, and she's quite well known in Asian countries for writing some of the around 10,000 hymns that the underground church sings. No one really knows her name. She's never had songwriting royalties for these songs. Like she's not well known, but these songs were the songs that the underground church would sing. And I said to my friend, I said, what was it like? And he said, well, we had to be really quiet, so we would whisper the songs. They didn't even have melody to the, they would just whisper the words and they would clap like this. And I said to him, what was that like? He's like, Roma, it was the most anointed worship I've ever experienced in my life. And I'm just so taken aback by that, so humbled by that story, that the crushing and the shaking creates the most beautiful anointing in our lives. And so I come today with a fresh word. It's only a few hours old. And I want to say to you, if you're feeling like that, or if you're not, you might be like, I'm good, Roma. Guess what? You need a fresh infilling as well. We all need it every single day. And so I want this day to be a marker in the road for you where you go, I remember that Sunday when the Holy Spirit turned up and He made me come alive again. Maybe you've never experienced the Holy Spirit. Guess what? Today you are going to be filled by Him. Maybe you've never had the evidence of speaking in tongues. I want to encourage you today, if you open your mouth and start to worship Him, if you just enter in, turn aside and linger, the Holy Spirit is so ready to meet with you and have that relational experience we talked about. So as the worship team comes up, I just want you to get to stand with me. If you feel like you really just as an act of faith want that Holy Spirit experience, just come down the front, encounter. Like I said, you know, we do this, just come down as I'm talking. You might wonder, why do we have these moments of encounter where people come down the front? Can't God just heal me in my seat? Can't God? Yes, He can, but the dunamis power has evidence. There's evidence of Him touching your life. And so if you feel like as an act of faith, I'm just going to come down and I'm saying, Lord, I surrender to You, just come down right now. You're so welcome. But everyone else, just stay standing, because he's going to touch everybody. He's not partial to anyone. Come down here right now. And Angel had a vision in the prayer time that she's just quickly going to share.
Thanks, Mum. Hello. So when we were in pre-service prayer, I had a vision of... It's very strange. As I said in the first service, it speaks your language to the people that understand it. But I actually saw this disfigured heart, and it was like a broken heart, but it was like biologically, like I could see that it was emotionally hurting a lot of the people in this room. And I just saw that, I don't know if you guys know, but there's this toy where like when you're a kid, it has like a specific shape, and there's a specific toy shape that has to go into it. And I saw that, but it was like in all of our hearts. And I saw that this heart shape was empty, and that the heart and the posture that we were in was really broken and disfigured. And there were people that might be feeling exhausted, and like Mum even mentioned, like dragging your feet through church recently. And just, I saw God pick up this heart and just in one swift movement put it back in its place. And it was like just so beautiful. And then it covered over with metal, like it couldn't be taken back out again. And I think that God was just saying that, I think that it doesn't matter how you are feeling and how your week has gone, our posture is so important when we come to church. And even just in your time with God, like there are times when I come and I open my Bible and I'm like, God, I don't want to be here, but I'm here for you. I'm so tired. I'm so weary. I'm so disfigured in my soul. I'm broken, but you love me anyway, and you see me. And I just think that if there's people in this room that God has highlighted to me, if there's people that are feeling like that, just know that you're allowed to ask God for what you are hoping for. You are allowed to ask God. He loves you so much, and he is going to take your heart and put it right back in its place, and it's going to click, and it's going to stay this time. But you also have to let it stay. You can't take your heart back out. You have to let it be whole again, but you have to do that with God. So I thank you, God, so much for that word. I thank you that we would be receptive to that, Father. I thank you that the disfigured hearts in this house, that we would come back to you, God, that you would swiftly put us back together, that we would not be broken again, Father, that we would be like children coming to your feet and asking to be whole again, and that you would pick us up and you would love us, and we receive that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just lift your hands to heaven right now, every single person in this room. We just thank you, Father, for a fresh infilling of your presence and your power. Lord, we call out to you. Just lift up your voice right now. Be bold. Just call out to him. If you speak in tongues, speak in tongues. If you don't know what to say, just say, God, you are good. I want you. I need you. Lift your heart to him. Lift your posture to him. And Lord, we just say, we recalibrate right now. We recalibrate and we ask for your Holy Spirit fire to come upon every single person right now in Jesus' name at the sound of my voice. Let your anointing, let your fire come in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. I want you to all just close your eyes right now, and I want you to come with me to the fire room. I want you to imagine that you're standing at those steps and you're seeing that sheer curtain. And that you're hearing the call of the Lord. He's saying, enter in. And you walk up those steps. You walk into and through those curtains. You see Jesus standing there. And he ushers you to that place to kneel in front of the fountain of fire. I want you to kneel right now in your mind or in your body, even physically. Jesus is walking up right beside you, and he's carrying that ladle. And he's putting it into the fountain of fire. And as he lifts it out, he comes over and he puts his hands around your shoulders and he pours Holy Spirit fire over you right now in Jesus' name. And take a deep breath in. Just breathe in the breath of God. Allow him to fill you again. Allow that fire to refresh you and anoint you and empower you. You can say to him, Lord, I'm tired. Lord, this is hard. Let him just take another ladle of fire and pour it on your head again. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. That's what we do, Holy Spirit. We receive you today. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we expect your dunamis power in our lives, in our church. Let there be signs and wonders following as you empower us with your presence. We say, Holy Spirit, we're sorry. We're sorry if we went and sat in that ocean and the wind in our sails stopped, Lord, because we stopped following. Holy Spirit, we repent. And we say, breathe on us again. We don't just want good ideas. We don't just want busyness for the sake of busyness. We want every day to be a page in the Holy Spirit book of life. An adventure with you. Breathe on us. Be the wind in our sails again. We surrender to you afresh in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a hand. Let's just say, Holy Spirit, we love you with our hands. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. He loves you so much. He really does. He loves East. He loves Numa East. I think we're special.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, numa.church. Thank you for listening.